Kennedy Lucas and Rachel DiMatteis and Williams, who is on long sick leave. And I am appointed as acting head of department until he's back. Chairperson, our presentation is prepared in line with your brief, with the objective to report in terms of Section 32 of the PFMA. And in terms of your brief, we will just briefly touch on the data on trends in allocations. Then we will just fly quickly, then we will have a brief assessment of the 2008 financial year, indicating the over and or under expenditure capacity constraints where applicable. We will report a little bit on reporting and compliance methods, and then also give a brief assessment of the department's monitoring capacity. Now the first two slides after the cover page is giving us an indication of the data on transfer allocation since 2004, for the past 3 years then, until 2006. You can look at it at your own leisure. The next one is just giving data on transfer allocation in terms of this current financial year, first, second, and third quarter. Noting that in the third quarter, where you will see from 1 to 2 the allocation say constant, you will see suddenly in the third quarter, if you look at example food nutrition, 37.132 million instead of the usual 34. That is basically the rollover of 2.6 million that is included in that amount. Same with the HIV and AIDS grant, where we had 3.4 for the first and second quarter, and then suddenly in the third quarter, it is 3.9. There's a roll over 468,000 that is included there. In terms of the expenditure trends, then, Chairperson, spending on the National School Nutrition Program Conditional Grant for the third quarter improved to 75.3% compared to the second quarter of 56%. In terms of life skills, there's also an increased expenditure from 40% in the second quarter to 78%. And infrastructure grants for the third quarter have improved to 87%, where we were in the at the end of the second quarter in 40%. Spending then also on the SEC recap grant for the third quarter increased from 46% to 71% in the second quarter. Overall, then there's an increased expenditure on all four grants of average 77%. The next slide, Chairperson, will give us then an assessment of the year's allocation, as I said, touching on under over expenditure as well as capacity constraints. Now, this is the budget, food nutrition allocation 37.1, remembering that the rollover is included there, life skills 3.9, FET 8 million, infrastructure 48, and a total of 97.157, 152 that we are managing in the province. Looking at food nutrition for the third quarter, the expenditure stood on 27.981 with a variance of 9.151. And if you look at your slide, Chairperson, just my apologies, and you look at the projection there, then you will see there was a problem then, we corrected it last night. It's actually 75.3% expenditure. If you look at over there, not in your, on your page 8 in your handout. Chairperson, we're not expecting any over expenditure for the end of the financial year, because if you look at 75, we are in line with the expenditure at this time of the year, end of December. But then also in terms, there's also the problem of infrastructure backlog in Kalahari, the area that we have taken over from the northwest is still hampering the smooth implementation of the school feeding program as reported in the last report, but we are working on that. Just looking at the program performance quickly and taking into cognizance, Chairperson, the Polokwane resolution that we must progressively expand the school nutrition program to include high school learners in poorer communities, we must report, I don't know if it was reported previously, that we already started to include high school learners since the last financial year, but that we cover with the provincial fund. So this is the number of learners that we are feeding, number of schools in quintile 1 to 5, number of feeding days 174 days, but then also the impact of the strike action chairperson. We have added an additional 18 days, and not from Treasury, but it's a departmental decision. And there was also a double up of feeding time during the week and over weekends in terms of addressing the needs in the recovery plan also. So number of feeding days from October to December, sorry for that one also, Chairperson, correction, is 46 days, as it is reflected there on the slide. Here, basically what we all know, the rate per learner per day for food, for administration, etc. And then we have also enlisted 313 SMEs as service providers. Chairperson, moving over to the performance in life skills and HIV and AIDS. The expenditure at the end of December stood at 3.042 million with a variance of 879,000 and the percentage of spend is 78%. Here also, Chairperson, we do not envisage any over expenditure. There are no capacity constraints that impacted negatively on implementation. Looking at the performance, training for educators, care and support, pre-education, here we're just giving the figures of educators and learners reached. In terms of monitoring program, also 19 schools in that quarter, and then also a program of advocacy to parents, learners and educators. Moving to further education and training, Chairperson, honorable members, the expenditure up to the end of December was 5.6 million and that reflects a 71% expenditure. And once again, this program is also not expecting any over expenditure by the end of the financial year. Although there's no capacity constraints that we can report, there is one of internet and ICT connectivity in the rural college. It is a major challenge because of the absence of ASDL broadband internet lines in some of the rural areas. The next slide will look at the program performance. 71 lectures trained for delivery of MCV level 3 program. We have connected 5 rural campuses on the virtual private network. 4 classes built at Moremo Folo campus. 2 workshops furnished with modernized equipment at urban colleges. Equipment for the engineering workshops in Katu campus were ordered and delivered. So you can go through a Chairperson up to the purchasing of equipment for workshops in the Upington campus. Then on infrastructure, the allocation at the end of the December, third quarter, expenditure of 41.6 million of the 48, and the percentage expense is 86.6%. And although it is far past the 75% mark, Honorable Chair, we are not expecting any over expenditure by the end of the financial year. The challenge that we are facing here is that some contractors are not being able to complete projects on time, but that is closely monitored through the IDOP model that we have engaged on in the province since the beginning of this financial year. Looking at the performance briefly, at phase 1 at Newton Primary School completed, permit district office, refurbishing of water supply, 40 schools, installation of mobile classrooms at 12 schools. Now, Chairperson, if we look at the next slide, I would say we will definitely also take up the advice here to separate maintenance from the capital expenditure budget. Well, if you look at the slide, we report here the infrastructure expenditure up to 31st December about maintenance, conversions, but importantly the school flagship rehabilitation program, and the only thing that you see here that is a little bit or quite new was building of administrative blocks, classrooms and mobile classrooms, etc. And this is basically also with your computer centers and computer classrooms to Well, in an effort to address the legacy of the past in terms of our disadvantaged schools. What I can also report as the state chairperson is that in our planning for the next financial year, three new schools are to be built in the new financial year in Kalahari district, where we have the biggest backlog in infrastructure and also the mud schools that Polokwane conference also resolved from. Chairperson, the next few slides will now give us a brief assessment of our monitoring capacity thus far. In terms of food nutrition, the monitoring plan is outlined in the annual performance plan, and we strictly adhere to that. Common monitoring plan is also enforced and implemented by all districts. And the director responsible for this program is Mr. Bonatelle Jacobs, and he's also now responsible for the whole conditional grant and special program. And they have a kind of plan where they meet monthly in rotating in different districts, not only to receive reports but to interrogate reports and then on immediately follow up on problems where it comes up. So, and then there's also the mandatory quarterly meetings with all the districts to monitor and scrutinize progress. Life skills monitoring. We also have a tool which they utilize for schools to monitor the implementation of the life skills program, and it's also done against the approved plan and continues. They now have bi-monthly meetings with districts, and they also go out and monitor schools. 19 schools were monitored during the first quarter. Monitoring in terms of SET. And again, here, Chairperson, we want to agree also that transfers are not equal to expenditure, and this in our province also made clear to the Northern Cape Urban and Rural SET colleges. And our report reflects on the actual expenditure and how do we get that by means of submission of monthly and quarterly reports, including financial reports or substantive documents by the colleges, which is also interrogated and feedback also. But then also, in order to check the report against the reality, there's also site visits conducted in the third quarter, actually on a monthly basis, or when need arises. Infrastructure, the monitoring capacity in the previous report, we reported on that, but it has improved by the appointment of additional staff and restructuring roles in infrastructure delivery. There's also an additional system separate to assist planning and reporting in development phase, and this is the IDEP model that I referred to, and implementation is expected in the first quarter of 2008-09. In the last section, Chairperson, I will report on the area of monthly reports, noting that we are actually not transferring further to departments or municipalities, but in terms of arrangements in place, administrative arrangements, we got the certified business plans for the financial year submitted to National Treasury as per DORA. We are busy finalizing business plans for the new financial year, and we also forward to the Select Committee on Finance all these business plans, cash flow projections, and expenditure. There's a problem here. Sorry, I just happened to this provincial treasurer. He's correcting it. sorry, sir. Just correct that one. Third level agreements. Chairperson is also signed, this is also in an effort to formalize integration in a sense in the province. In terms of food nutrition, we work closely with the health, local government, agriculture, and environmental affairs. And this is basically the part of the relationship where they come in. In terms of infrastructure, our main partner there is Public Works, and our overall, as I said, Chairperson, we strive to work closely with sister departments, and this we do through interdepartmental forums also that sit regularly in the province They will all report not only on conditional grants, but on all methods of integration. In concluding, Chairperson, the Northern Cape Education Department overall expenditure on all four conditional grants and capital expenditure is relatively healthy at an average of 77%. Just another correction there, you see it right on the slide, that is slide there. 77% average at the end of the third financial year. And as I said, Chairperson, no transfers are made to other departments or municipalities, but food nutrition makes transfers to schools and FET recap to rural and urban FET colleges. And how we deal with this one is tight monitoring plans is in place, and we are experiencing very limited problems in terms of receiving reports from these institutions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
I can tell you now that clearly then service delivery is slow. For instance, health has big problems in your province. Agriculture has problems. Public works has problems. And so I'm just raising that comment as an observation. It means then there is some process in service delivery in the depth of this thing. Can we take questions? I think part of what we need from you as information in respect of the secondary schools, now that you are a bit experienced in terms of feeding those, I think it would be just useful for us to know how many secondary schools you're feeding, how many learners are going to feeding, what is the impact, really? Because I think we need to have a broader understanding whether this is really working very well in the Northern Cape, so that maybe we can argue strongly for other provinces. So we need to just have a good view of that. No, you shouldn't have to say that. Questions, comments, clarities, Mr. Robertson.
You mentioned health, agriculture, and we know what the situation is there. You've mentioned health and agriculture, and we obviously know what the situation is there on delivery. Yeah, I'd just like to add that to that one and find out the delivery of public works. Is it on schedule, or how this is a slot, but just a short report back. And then say, on the nutritional feeding schemes for children, the amount vary quite a lot. Earlier on, it was mentioned 1 rand 50 per child. And now I see in the Northern Cape, it's 1 rand per child per day. Jay, I would like a detailed report on what that child gets for 1 rand. Thank you, sir. No, that's the financial what he's spending per child. But food wise, what does that child get for that money?
Yeah, Chairperson. my colleague, Honorable Zokoni, made a point during the previous presentation, which I feel it's cutting across all provinces. A point about the given a training on life skills to educators. It's a point to me in a sense that we all know that every time during the opening, MPs conduct some visits to schools. Where I was, I don't mention, I think I visited over 7 schools. And I really looked into this question of HIV and AIDS program. Interacting with principals, I couldn't find one. I couldn't find one. I really said to myself, how are these resources then? Who is actually using these resources? The impression I got from all those schools was that parents and teachers are still treating this as secret. They even told me that
all they realize
some children are dying, some teachers are sick and all that, but nobody comes out. And I couldn't find a situation that leads me to a program that should be interrogating as well. That's one of the reasons. But there is no program that I came across out of all those schools. So I still believe we are still going to play this further in our caucus and all that. Because end of the day, we are going to analyze all these reports from all provinces. And I think you must be ready, because we need to know exactly where are these resources spent. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip. Chairperson, the presentation of Northern Cape, page 21. I don't get the sense what is the message that was being given. Chair, the first bullet is saying monitoring capacity has improved. But then the next three, when you go down, it seems there are still plans to improve the system. But the first bullet has already improved. So I don't get the sense what is really happening. Then secondly, Chairperson, it has been our observation and experience that the appointment of additional staff into a program does not necessarily translate into improved efficiency. You might even get that just the opposite of that, because you might be getting more lines of reporting, some kind of conflicts and misunderstandings. We did get even some officials were talking about bickering among themselves within the programs and therefore compromising the system. But I just want to get a sense of what is happening. Does this the officer intend saying they intend improving or the capacity to monitor, or has it already improved? Because if you read here, myself, I don't get the point. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that we appreciate what Northern Cape is doing. I think the expenditure is good, but the proof of the pudding is in the kitchen. I'm looking at page, I'll tell you now, where the detail of the expenditure, you know. Sometimes I think you're doing well by not giving people a format of reporting and allow people to be innovative, you know. I'm looking at page 15. I haven't got my, I'm struggling to see, I haven't got my, I'm looking at page 16, you know, the expenditure, the computer centers, the 350,000 rand, 1 month, computer classroom, 120,000, and you know, I suspect that we are afraid of you, Chairperson, because you make us account for this money. As this money is instead, but not the quality of that. Because for a computer center spending 3 feet of 20,000 rand, or a computer classroom spending on that, on what is this money instead? So, are there computers there for 20,000? How many were the colleges that says it? What are these? I'm saying, so this page really, what you call it, interests me in terms of the expenditure, you know. And in some other issues where I thought that the expenditure could just be one of things, you look at your what is this, mobile classroom. There is continuous expenditure. Is it because every month they get new, what you call, mobile classrooms, first quarter, second quarter, every quarter? Because I think, I would suppose that a school or the department, if the beginning of the year, has what you call the procure so many what you call the mobile classrooms. They are enough for that year. But I'm saying so it's very interesting, you know, at this stage.
What is it, what you call the
I don't understand what is behind this, what you call a kind of expenditure. Is the quality, is the, what is, why are we spending on these things which could be structured for once off and some, we continue to source them. Can we just get clarity on that page, Chapter 6?
Just before you proceed, if you look at the heading, which is really problematic for me, underline estimated categorization of MCED infrastructure expenses. In other words, for me, the first quarter ought already to be spent, not estimated.
Tender, yes.
To be clear, as you said, same applies to the second quarter. Same applies to the third quarter. Shouldn't be. And so is this real expense? Has this been spent, essentially? That's, I think, the critical question for me. And I think that's just the one thing. Exactly. And then if you're looking at the ablution blocks and some of the things, administration blocks, after that, I mean, there's also some fluctuations. I don't have a problem with that. If it's ablution blocks, what do we mean here? Was this money used on spending this ablution block? By the way, part of the problem that I have here is, what was then the total budget here? Because I also see the total spend by that time is with 1 million, etc. The what was the budget? Okay. What's the plan with the second?
Yeah. Now, yes, sir. But also, I didn't hear the comment, you know, about the personnel expenditure. Whether they intend, I think they are going to overspend by, according to Trevor, by over 1 million. If we could get a comment from them, and why perhaps are they going to overspend? Well, what is the basis of the overspending? Thank you.
Same page. Say schools, 680, 320, 100. Well, what is meant here? What exactly was this spent on in terms of the schools? The conversion. That's the first thing. Secondly, the big jump from 50,000 in the first quarter to 2.1 million in the second quarter. What was the cause for that? And again, the big drop in the third quarter to 1,320 now. Dr. Sugla?
Thanks, Professor. I just want to add to what Mr. Sugla is saying, and one of the things that I'm finding actually missing in the presentation is the connection between the financial expenditure and the non-financial indicators that should have been there in the business plan.
Yes.
And I think the next time round when we have this kind of an engagement, maybe the department needs to present to us What is it that they have planned in terms of achieving their targets, their KPIs, per quarter, and whether that has been achieved, and the alignment between their planning, their budget, and their indicators? Because that makes it easier for us then to understand exactly where the problems are. And I think this engagement here is not to look at issues and try and become where we accuse one another of not doing their job, but basically to start engaging with what are the challenges we have and how do we address that moving forward.
But then, having said all of that, the Department of Education in the Northern Cape, after the adjusted budget, as at 31 December 2007, is underspent on infrastructure. Spending there in terms of what their provincial treasury says is 68%. Of course, it's an improvement compared to last year at the time, they say. Because at that time it was 66%, now it's 68%, but still it remains an understanding. I think that's the biggest problem there. But then the other problem that I have in terms of what the provincial treasurer is saying, so then I was saying there's going to be no over understanding under the FET. Reported to the provincial treasury that the spending as at the end would be 101% FET. Black and white, swart and black. They presented this on Monday. Over to you.
Okay.
You know, at the last quarter, we had a problem with Northwest. And when I look at their expenditure, it has not been resolved. I think that I want to ask a question to Northern Cape, maybe to Gauteng as well. They're not here, and I'm not expecting a response now from Northern Cape. Is, one, where I'm expecting a response, do they know the number of teachers that were transferred to Northwest? And if they have that, what you call the figure. And secondly, if they have reconciled that with Terrace Northwest. And I think that question will do also with housing. Because once Northwest also to classify this huge, what you call a jump, you know, over a billion, what you call it, that they need for personnel. But if you can respond now, you will tell us.
Dr. Sukulal has forgotten the question she raised with me before we go for tea, and I'm going to allow her to talk on this demarcation clarification.
I reminded you.
Okay. The issue there is that we find, Gauteng made a presentation just now, we had a presentation from Northwest. Where Gauteng presented and they indicated that a lot of the problems that they encounter or some of the challenges they're encountering is because of the demarcation process. And perhaps what would be important is for us to look very clearly again at what was the impact of the demarcation on education, particularly in terms of the grants, because we're addressing the grants here, and maybe come up with more realistic figures now. And, you know, via the national department, then we can communicate that again. Because if you listen to the debate as they have progressed over time, we find that each time new issues around the demarcation keep on surfacing. And maybe we need to now address it once and for all. And if that has had a major impact, because each province has the tendency of accusing the other province of giving or handing over schools that are in a poor condition or not having given the full cost and so forth. and we need to just start looking at it and what are the issues, and perhaps if there should be any other ways in which we need to address that. Chairperson, I want to use this just also to just raise one more point that's come to mind, is the issue of the rollovers. Now, that may distort the expenditure for the third quarter, because the rollovers actually that was granted to the department, for the grant, that would be the NSNC and HIV and AIDS grant, were purely based on commitments. So that amount should have been money that was spent in the last financial year. So even if the money is reflected as an increase to your budgeting adjustment estimate, we need to take cognizance that that money was already spent in the last financial year. So it's not a expenditure for this financial year. The only place where you need to indicate clearly of what it is that you have achieved in this financial year is for the FEQ grant, because that money wasn't completely given on commitment. The agreement was that, yes, departments had to provide us with a list of the commitments, and the agreement was that even where they were not completely committed for various reasons, all the money in the FEQ grant was rolled over.
Okay, I think the National Department must pick this thing up in the dramatization issue. The Eastern Cape, Fraser 10, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape, I think Gauteng. It's only the Free State that was not affected in the Western Cape. That's right. So clearly there are huge implications there. And I think the observation level is just critical, so that we find a way of really resolving this thing once and for all. Because I think, I mean, she's right. People come with some facts all the time and blame demarcation. And then so I think, finally there was a one-off grant to Northwest to deal with issues of demarcation. But they still remain all the time. And so what are these things that are remaining then? North Cup. Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With your permission and the Honorable Member's permission, I would request that my colleagues, the CFO and Mr. Bonatel and Jacob, the Director, must assist me in responding to the questions. I'm just going to touch on a few of them, the financial ones. Mr. Matebe next to me will respond to. Mr. Jacobs already have the information ready. In terms of the information needed from our chairperson around secondary schools that we are feeding, we'll come in with that one. In terms, chairperson, of the delivery of public work, whether that is on schedule, what we had in the past problems with public work. But instead of complaining, we decide to sit and address the problems. And addressing these problems is on a high level, whereby the MEC for Education will also meet constantly with the MEC for Transport, Roads and Public Works, MEC Molusi. Just yesterday or over the weekend at the PC Lokota, we also picked up one problem, and we spoke about it immediately. And the Monday we had a meeting, sitting with the NEC, trying to see how we can clear the bottleneck. And in terms of that relationship of addressing the problem, if it's there, that enables us to stay on delivery. But we must admit, in the provincial public works, there is a major capacity problem, and the NEC is even considering going the route of outsourcing, but I don't think that would work, because public works is there and that is public works mandate. But in terms of what we are doing, we are working closely with public works and delivery is picking up, especially in terms of our programs. No, I'm not. I'm just going through my notes, chairperson. Sorry. The slide on the monitoring of infrastructure on page 21, the honourable member indicated that you cannot pick up a sense of improvement. reading from the first bullet further down the other bullets. Now, I think maybe one is to say there is a slight improvement. If we read it, in the context of the last presentation on that matter in the previous financial year, where there was none, there's now a slight improvement, and that is also brought about with the either program together with Public Works in terms of bringing departments up to scratch in the delivery of infrastructure. Now, I must also mention, Chairperson, that yes, of course, the appointment of additional staff does not necessarily contribute to improvement. But in our case, if we look at the situation as it was over the past years, where the unit head for policy and planning under which infrastructure resorted. So we had to go back and revisit the organogram. Now, the unit head who was responsible for that is promoted. And if you look at the capacity within the unit, there's actually only two or three staff members servicing the entire province. And that in itself poses a big problem. They have also taken, through the learnership program on board, some capacity in dealing with this program. But we are hoping that, seeing that the director is not only responsible for infrastructure, but for other policy and planning matters also, which physical planning is also one in that director. We are hoping if we have that one, then the director will concentrate on his policy matters and the unit that will run focusing on infrastructure only. Okay. Coming to the slide on the outlaying the capital expenditure surplus. I think an oversight from our side is to indicate the total budget allocation per project. What we see is basically expenditure per province on that specific program, which isn't necessarily maintenance at one specific school, but in a sense in more than one school where there's a need for maintenance and conversion. The one of the mobile classrooms, and it usually happens at the beginning of the year, where we are inundated with calls from schools where there some vandalism over the holidays or where there's a need for additional space. And the idea with the mobile classrooms at this stage is to address the matter as it arises. That's why you will see in the first quarter, and it's a rolling program in any case. And maybe here we also need to indicate the total amount set aside for mobile classes. And we are, although we are rolling out mobile classes as is there per quarter for the past year, there is still delivery taking place as we speak now, which will also then reflect at the end of the financial year. And maybe at the end of the financial year one needs to give a total in that regard also, Chairperson. Yeah, the heading is confusing, but 10% just is real expenditure.
I don't understand what the action HOD says around the issue of mobile classrooms. You're saying you do it from time to time. You see, the problem that I do have, I'm not sure why you're doing like this. You decide to deliver them any day when you feel like doing it. Because on page 21, on your monitoring capacity, the last bullet says additional system to assist planning. I just underline planning. That is the planning. I suppose that by last year, the schools had submitted their own plans to say, look, this is our need in terms of the classroom space and whatnot. Now, I don't know, I don't understand, how come that
you continuously believe at these mobile classes. What informs you?
I don't understand. Maybe I'm not there, I would not understand, but I would suppose, but if I think that my understanding would be that the school, by the end of the year, they know their needs for the following year. Now, you're saying your schools come, if they feel like coming in April, they come, they apply, you see. Other schools come in September, they come, they apply, you see. So there's no system. This is just what you said.
In fact, the opposite should be true. Because the use of mobile classes should be decreasing.
Yeah.
Precisely because planning is well on track. The systems are well on track. But then the as and when issue, because you think of the point is whether people vandalize or not. You know, there's this thing that it shouldn't be government only that provides the partnerships in communities.
Yeah.
Therefore, communities must start owning in respect of what is going on in terms of the schools, etc., etc. So clearly, therefore, the issue that because you provide the mobiles, maybe you also are creating conditions for people to vandalize because they know that you're going to provide a mobile school. And maybe, I'm not sure what these mobile schools look like, whether they are like caravans. So because they are caravans, then you just drive around. And so even learners can always be dropped at home, one by one, I'm just not sure. So maybe these are some of the kinds of incentives for people to vandalize static, permanent buildings, precisely because they know they can always attend in caravans that are moving all over the car. Problem. But just proceed.
Yeah.
No, it is fine, sir, because maybe Mr. Mateve, the CFO, will be able to give an explanation how it looks like. Safe to say, in the beginning of the year, we had problems with these structures where it was declared unsafe, new structures that were set up at a school somewhere in Kalahari where we had one of these accommodation needs. So it was declared unsafe, and those people had to come back. It's to do with what do you call those things? No, so the shelf on which they are placed in the schoolyard. So maybe Mr. Matera was given an idea of how these mobile units look like. Chairperson, now obviously there is a contradicting in terms of the problem that you have picked up close to the end with what was presented to you by Provincial Treasury. In terms of the expected under expenditure on the conditional grant, and also in terms of FEC, the spending is up to 101 over expenditure at the end of the financial year to be 101% according to the report by Provincial Treasury. But we will look into that matter and just see how we're going to address that, because as a provincial department, we have said to ourselves in the beginning of the year that there's no way that we will allow over or under expenditure on conditional grant. In fact, over or under expenditure on the education department budget. The other matter that I've got here, Chairperson, is not expecting response now. But I'm sure Mr. Bonatella Jacobs will be able to briefly give us also an idea of the number of the number of teachers transferred from Northwest. We will get that information. And the last report that we submitted to the GNA cluster meeting in the province was that they are busy concluding reconciliation of the teachers on the system from Northwest based on the what is the thing? So what we also do, Honorable Member Sugal, Dr. Sugal, what we did was in that report also we dealt with the service level agreements that we signed with the Northwest, looking at all outstanding matters per province. And the only outstanding matter for us, I mean not per province, but per department in the province,
only outstanding matter for us was the one of reconciliation of the personnel coming over from the north west. But I'm sure that report can also be forwarded to the house. And surely, and then maybe just some advice from Dr. Sukhdar in terms of the, it is true, yeah, that rollovers in including it in the report is distorting the expenditure here, but maybe some advice because I thought one need to declare that this rollover was approved and it is there. Maybe some advice on how we must reflect it here, maybe if you invoke it separately or whatever, we will appreciate the advice. Can I, Jefferson, give over to CFO and to Mr. Jacobs to attend to our question?
In response to the issue of high schools, we are feeding 110 high schools. But share with you is that the issue of the
technology that can Mr. Jacobs speak to the mic?
Sure. Am I audible now? We are feeding 110 high schools. In due respect, the Act recognizes two types of schools, high schools and primary schools. The schools that came over from us, they are categorized differently. There are intermediate schools, so I rather want to see your training. But in terms of the graduate memo, our mandate was to think it out to share. And the schools that came over from us, the only thing is the madness. I want Dr. Sukhdar to look at the issue of that, that rollover in the context of that amount. That although in the business plan, can you recall, we had two business plans in 2017. There was a provisional one, we had to submit a second one. But in this house, the chairperson said it would not be accepted. Below the minimal salaries of 156. The only our first business plan was for 140. We would find money to fit and easily the minimal for 146. So the strike and the issue that rollover, when you look at the expenditure, must be contextualized in that way. And the second issue is that my problem is always when you speak of numbers, you think color, but there's also the Kukwani schools that we have to. And the numbers that we got from numbers, those schools don't include it. Those learners that we are promoting. So our target is our actual age learners. Different, quite considerable. So therefore we had to absorb those learners. As I think it is. So we are feeding 76,524 high school learners. Now we are already projecting 90,000 learners. I must also say, every year, the numbers come from Eastern Cape in the north, that come from Christian in the north, beside that number. So we must also budget, we don't budget for them by when they end that month. They follow their parents and they come to the winding their place in front of them. So we can't say, we must not for them, we must end up for them. So I don't want to speak about grade rather than high school. But where a grade 8 learner finds himself in the school, but the only thing that we can do is that we can serve and we can accommodate it. Our response on what does one run by? We have a norm of 4 cooked game stories and 1 bread option. Maybe owed to the bride, to the bread price, that is not expensive. So we use 4 cooked games and 1 bread.
Yes.
And the menu,
yes.
We have got 4 cooked menu stories. And 1 bread option tools. There is a, in terms of what Department of Health describes in the recommended daily allowance, algae coffee, that we must have rice, sand, square meat, and the whole thing. That menu is prescribed by Department of Health. We stick to it, and we have extended it twice. The quantity is only defined, the dietitians are sisters, we can determine the quantity for the learners up. So there's a different type of food. But we have been sticking with it. The other issue I want to raise is that these menus are all can also be changed annually based on cultural sensitive foods available in the community. but those must be submitted to the Department of Health for approval. So that service level has been lacked, like works in that context. They are the professionals. For those checks, it might assist us in the issue of compliance, but the issue of vitamin A supplementation and deworming does not happen because that department complains that it doesn't happen. We are unable to force them to implement this policy. We don't have the Bible in the head. And maybe that is the issue. But I just want to come to the issue of the price. In the province, we have a pent-up problem. And therefore, we cannot quantify the school. Because some schools were on strike, some were not on strike. So some schools had a learning over weekend, and they said, as long as your learners are there and you can go, so a register, so many learners and families have been extended. Because the contract for those who could extend for 12 months, so whether they are there during holidays or not, you want to add it for 6 days, they already need it. So we didn't pay during holidays, some people didn't extend during holidays, and some over weekend. But we then added to the number of days that we reported in the first quarter for the 140 to come to the meeting. Additionally, the ABC then made an announcement that schooling days is not 156. They said you want 134. So we had to then use that money to extend school days even after the last quarter. So if Dr. Sukla looked at it, in the second quarter we spent 56%. Now we are at 75.8%. Those are additional then, the number of days extended. Even if the rollover money is then subsumed. It then means in the last quarter, those commitments would then be changed. And it would then add up well. So we don't foresee any overspend. I want to come up with the issue of the mobile. The problem we have is the service provider to transport the mobile to erect them in different schools. They are very scared, not in our province. So it becomes difficult for them to deliver on time. And it's also a very, the process of setting up those things take long. So we are also chewing up with other provinces for those trains to move the classroom. And as I said, a school will say in the 10-day survey, before the 10-day survey, they will have 800. When the 10-day survey comes, they've got 1.5. Then they use the constitutional right access to send equipment now. Look at that issue. And that comes the issue of the suppliers of classrooms. So then demand that is taken. And communities stand up and say, because we come from Northwest, it treats us differently. And that is the issue that we have favored those schools because there's a backlog, the math school. There was also a pronouncement on schools that when they have their classes, they have to take them first and then provide them.
Can you repeat that?
There were three schools in Kalahati that they are Kalahati members when the NCOP visited last time, which were built on Asbest Society. On Asbest Society, we had to make sure that those kids are not continually exposed to those signs. So we had to then remove those kids and then supply them first to the people. And that's a huge amount. And in essence, if you could give it a list of the requests for mobile from Kalahari, you'd be shocked. You cannot even meet those demands. But all of those schools say, comparison with Norby, the old Norby, they would like to have the same kind of infrastructure. And therefore, they demand better classes. And we could only meet what the budget allows. But we had to remove those three schools first because to ask that they travel.
See, part of what
was happening
is that the
part of what must happen is a discussion amongst yourselves and the two neighboring provinces, Eastern Cape and Free State, in respect of what you are saying, migration. Because then, and I think this is the problem, and I'm not sure what the plan is nationally to deal with how do you compensate for that kind of migration? Because these learners must necessarily go to where their parents are. Correct. But then the allocations remain the same in the Free State and the Eastern Cape. Now you then have pressures yourself. How do you deal with that? And maybe these discussions need to continuously occur unselfishly unselfishly. Because the problem is that these are funds that must benefit these learners. Finally. And so if for instance you've got this money dedicated for these learners, but then you don't see understanding, in fact you do see some serious understanding there. For other reasons, not the migration, but there's a whole range of reasons in the same day. Now, I'm not sure whether we see understanding in the first state as a result of migration. I'm just saying, some audit must take place. So that as you pick up these kids that have come from the SNK, it would be nice just to have a record of the audit to start talking to the first state and then the SNK. So that then you also balance properly your books, but also how do we mitigate the pressure. So finally, what you might have studied might not be sustained. In fact, you might also lower the same standard you have set yourself as a result of the pressure. And so this discussion must take place urgently, so that we must find solutions to address exactly. It must form part of the broader discussion we were raising about the demarcation. But this one is not about the demarcation, it's just about the migration. In-province migration, intra-province migration. How do we deal with those matters? Sebo, any matter?
No, Honorable Chairperson, you're absolutely right. I think we did touch on this once or twice last year, but there's a lot of effort and work that will need to be put into this. There's actually so much one can say, you don't really know where to start and to stop with this whole issue, but until we have statistics that you base your budget allocation on new statistics and not statistics from some time ago that indicate these migrations, until your budget allocations are fully poverty index related, we're going to continue to struggle with this. Until we really have a fixed percentage or equitable share for education as such, we're going to continue with this. Because we do have it on, or we do possess the information that one provincial education department receives 50% of the provincial money, which we think is correct. But another department receives 36% of the provincial money that goes into the equitable share. Now, as soon as those kinds of things happen, and we don't look at it poverty-related, we can go run into that issue and we can do demarcation. If we are not moving, if we have 10 red apples, and we move 3 from this side to that side, it is easy. But if you have 10 red apples and 5 pears and maybe 3 oranges and you start moving, the result will not be the same. If you move from a let me call it a wealthy province to a poor province, the poor province will not complain because it may be receiving schools in a very good condition, it may be a favorable educator-learner ratio, the per capita may be slightly more than the other province. As soon as it is turned around, you're going to hear all these complaints because we're not comparing apples with apples. We're not working in an equitable way. We like to say there's no equity in the system, not taking the poverty index into full account. And yes, there must be a big discussion, there must be a big debate, and we need to be systems to say you are correct.
Mr. Robertson says it's a fruit cocktail. He says it's a fruit salad, and I love it so much. I think part of what we must then do, because I think these things must be practicalized at least. Let's also have this list of where, for instance, a provincial education department gets 50, and then the other 36. Because part of what we must do is also talk to the provincial ex-schools themselves. Precisely because, look, there's a much of us that raised ourselves late last year when we were saying All these provinces have what they call provincial growth and development strategies. But these strategies are just nothing. If one, for instance, what we have picked up ourselves is that the budget for roads is declining. The budgets for health were declining. And the budgets for education were declining. So what are the implications? The implications are, one, means the economy is not going to grow if there are no roads. Equally, if the people are ill in a province, there's no economy because everybody is ill, sick. But clearly again, if there are no skills, there's no economy. So there's a very strong interrelationship here. Education, health, and even roads. And so if we don't prioritize education in provinces, we're surely are doomed to fail. If we don't prioritize health, we're doomed to fail, and even roads. Do we want to have lunch? Or do we want to take the first aid before lunch? Let's have lunch. Alright, can we have then lunch? And then come back and do
it.
Alright, can we have then lunch? In the old assembly.
Thank you. I want to take a hand. No. I want to take a hand. I want to take a hand. I want to take a hand.